You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Del Torre.
Same corner, same time. Augusta on the horizon for my man, Nick.
What's up, fellas?
Yeah.
Come on.
Heading up today. We'll be there Tuesday, practice round, my second time in Augusta. Looking forward to it. More, more flags on the way. First time going to Augusta with a joint bank account.
Nice.
Oh, you said joint. I was about to say, yo.
With a joint bank account. Hopefully.
Does that mean you have excess funds or limited?
Oh, yeah. In my mind, it's a dual income household with no kids.
Right. Dinos.
So plenty of expendable income. We'll report back when the credit card bill comes to the house. In a month or so, we'll report back with what the reaction will be.
I'm sure it'll be.
But well, listen,
she gets it, you just never know.
Never could. I've been lucky to get there twice, but might never go again. So
I'm 0 for like 17. So
yeah, you got to treat it. Got to treat it as if you're never going to be there again.
Right.
And I will. I plan on it.
Silk, how's your weekend?
Man, it's just a lot of work. I hate to tell y'all this every week, but yeah. that's just all I be doing on the weekends these days, man. So just work, down to Miami again, facing heavy traffic and shenanigans. I actually interviewed James Houston. It was actually a very great conversation, man. But just work, no play, unfortunately. Work,
no play. You want to talk a little bit about Flow Factory?
Oh, yeah, man. We did our lunch last week, which was exciting for me, at least, you know what I'm saying? Like, just been working on this for like the last 3, 4, maybe 5, 6, 7 months, to be real. We've been since like November of last year plotting this, me and some of the team. So we launched, rebranded, Roll Up Network into Flow Factory Podcast. Our future, we plan on just covering the entire state from UCF, FIU, FAU, Bethune, FAMU, et cetera. So we're going to cover the entire state as we, work this thing out in phases. But we launched this week with the Greg Russo interview, former Kane, current Buffalo Bill defensive end. This week, we should be dropping some more heat. I'm not sure which interview we're going to drop this week, but we got about 10 of them in the chamber. We're going to keep it flowing. If you haven't checked that interview out, go subscribe, like, all of that on YouTube, Flow Factory, F-L-O, short for Florida. That's it. Appreciate the love, man, for everybody that. Appreciate you guys retweeting, sharing.
Absolutely, brother. It's awesome. It's first interview was great. Looking forward to seeing what you guys do. Good chemistry, obviously great visuals in all of that. So shout out to is Lion still doing all of it or?
No.
Okay. Never mind. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the show. Shout out to my parents. They were in town this weekend, so appreciate them coming up to beautiful Tampa. Got to take him out on the boat. Saw a bunch of lions. Wow, a bunch of dolphins. That was really, really cool. Normally, when you get out there, you're able to see one or two. This time, we were able to see like 15 or 20 of them. So that was really, really cool. So shout out to them. Appreciate them for coming up to Tampa from the beautiful 954. Let's get into the show today. A very different and more somber tone from Nick about baseball. So those of you that complained last week, you won't have to hear much about it today. So, but anyway, before we get into the show,
what happens when you win on Tuesday, you get swept on the weekend. Screw those Tuesday games.
I'm telling you what. So let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Lucy. If you are looking for nicotine that is delivered straight to your door, not the gas station stuff, 100% pure nicotine, always tobacco-free products, anywhere from pouches to the breakers that we've talked about to gum, anywhere from 2 milligrams all the way up to 12 milligrams for those of you that are heavy users. Go check out Lucy. That's lucy.co/stadium. you'll get 20% off of your first order. If you sign up for a subscription plan, you get 15% additional off of that. You can set up that prescription or a subscription, pardon me, for however long you want to go in between, however many you want to buy at a particular time. All of the flavors that you're used to, from mint and wintergreen to apple ice and espresso. Nick has talked heavily about that espresso with coffee combo. It's elite stuff. Nicotine's a nootropic, so it's supposed to help with some other things. You can go and do some research about that, about brain activity. But go check out lucy.co/stadium or at checkout. It's going to get you 20% off your order, free shipping, 30-day refund policy. They have the subscription as well. And here's the fine print. Lucy products are only for a day. Adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. All right, Nick.
Lucy will be in Augusta.
Lucy, accountability time for you, Nick.
Ready to go. Ready to go. All right, Nick. You've got, we're going to start the timer here. You've got 90 seconds.
No, we need more than 90 seconds. We need a little bit of accountability from Nick. With
yeah, that's a good point.
Man. You set the people up, man.
Yeah, Florida went into the series having won 20 of the last 21 against Missouri. Missouri
now 20 of the last 24.
Yes, still a great ratio. Better than a Darren Revelle tweet ratio. Just a tough week. You did not get a good start Friday. Only got two hits. So even though you don't get a good start on Friday from Brandon Neely, you're not going to win many games when you get two hits. Saturday, Sunday, kind of more of the same. Florida Sunday looked to be better. But you get bases loaded, no outs in the ninth inning when you're up two runs and you come away with nothing. Three straight strikeouts. You can question, should Kevin O'Sullivan have brought Luke McNeely in to a clean inning in the ninth? Did you leave Cade Fisher in too long on Sunday after he threw on Friday? But if you're striking out three straight times with bases loaded, no outs in the ninth inning, there's not much you can do as a coach there. Shout out to Cam, Cody Dent. Dan, I think Dan was in school at the same time Cody Dent was.
Yeah.
Cody Dent was as beloved a Gator as who was that? Who was the Basque? Dan Werner.
Dan Werner
and Cody Dent.
Yes.
Beloved the Gators. Yeah, brutal week. Brutal week for Florida. I said 2 weeks ago I thought they needed to win 5 of 6 their last two weekends. They go 2-4 instead. Now the stretch coming up is Florida State Tuesday, South Carolina, who just struggled, just lost a weekend series and dropped out of the top 25.
Lost to Georgia, right?
Yeah, Georgia and Kentucky are playing really well. Or Georgia's okay, but Kentucky's 10-1 or 11-1. Florida has FSU coming up Tuesday night. I'll maybe watch that. Probably not, because I'll be in Augusta. But then South Carolina at Vanderbilt.
Anytime you get the chance to put that in there, just do it throughout my head today too.
Yeah. So South Carolina at home, at Vanderbilt, at number one Arkansas, Tennessee, and then Kentucky. So just a brutal stretch coming up for Florida. They got to figure out something with the bats. In SEC play, Florida's been struggling to hit the ball. But you listen, it's April 8th, about more than half the season's done. Almost half of the SEC schedule is done. You are what you are at this point. There's no free agency. You can't make any trades. This is the team you have, and you got to get some guys hitting the baseball. And I think Florida's been really dependent on home runs, this year. And then they go to Missouri and the wind's blowing in the first two nights and you're not getting that, you know, that home run power, ball's not leaving the yard. So they got to find a way to win some games and, that starts this week.
Very nice.
All right. So baseball is struggling.
They dropped from 6-24 in D1 baseball. Yeah, I mean 17-14, 6-6 SEC. You could easily be an unranked team. That's an unranked resume, in my opinion. It's
an unranked resume for sure. A couple of big series wins, but not much other than that recently. Gator softball. They played again today. They went 1-1 so far against LSU on some top 10 matchups. So that's been fun to watch. I want to give a quick shout out before we get into football. The golf team is currently winning the Calusa Cup, which is fantastic for them. Doing really, really well this year, especially considering the number of people that graduated from the program last year and now on the Corn Ferry. And then shout out to the women's gymnastics program, which is going to be heading to the NCAA finals in gymnastics. So congratulations to them. They won their regional against Utah, Michigan State, and Missouri. So at least one Florida program took care of Missouri this week.
ATP Houston, Ben Shelton won that. And I think it was in his semifinal match. The tennis players do like that Sharpie thing. He wrote "Go Gators" after I think he won his semifinal match. But shout out to Ben Shelton. I think it's his second tournament win as a pro.
Yeah, and then shout out to the women's tennis team who beat Kentucky this past weekend. They're now 14-7 on the season. So
speaking of Kentucky, wild Coach Cal just dipping.
Kind of reminds me of, I know this is not a new take. A bunch of people have said kind of the Jimbo Fisher to Texas A&M move. Maybe the fan base is growing a little tired. Obviously, there were some questions whether John Calipari would come back to Kentucky this year. But that hasn't been officially announced, right? It's just that's where their eyes and ears are trained on at Arkansas.
They were throwing out numbers, 5 years, tens of millions of dollars on the timeline last night. Arkansas has not, Arkansas and Cal have not, officially announced anything, but it does seem to be that way at some point. I don't know if you're coming back to Kentucky. I think you get the Jimbo vibes just because it got to a point at FSU where you almost outstay your welcome despite winning a national championship. Kind of the same thing with Cal. Cal does leave like $33 million on the table. There's no buyout for Arkansas, but leaves like $33 million on the table. And he had some like crazy lifelong ambassador clause in his contract as well, where like even if he stepped away from coaching, that they would just continue to pay him to be in some sort of front office role.
Choosing to live in Arkansas is insane, to be honest with you.
Shout out to
on purpose. That's crazy.
Shout out to the family of Tucker Carlson. I think Big Chicken Tyson.
I think
Big Chicken got involved here. Big Chicken.
Walmart people.
Walmart. So the Walmart people, from my understanding, they in 2002 they made a $300 million donation to the University of Arkansas, but like for the college,
right?
That Walmart gives a ton of money to the athletic program.
That's
this
correct.
This was Big Chicken.
Yeah, Big Chicken Tyson's very involved. I know in this one they've been very involved in a number of sports things recently over there. So, I don't know. Maybe I
can't wait to see Cal calling the Hogs. This to me is like a Northeastern Italian man, slicked back hair, $4,000 suits, and he's going to be doing a Woo Pig Suey. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Content.
Hurdle. Did you get Drake to show up?
I don't think Drake's hanging out in the Ozarks or in Fayetteville or Bentonville.
With the amount of millionaire billionaires that fly in and out of Bentonville, Drake's plane will go there once, and he might look around and be like, okay.
I read a Cal, stat. It could be wrong, but Bentonville, Arkansas, is the has the highest concentration of private airplanes per capita of anywhere in the United States.
It would be like that or Omaha. I remember the first time I went to Omaha, Nebraska, the Uber driver told me that there's more billionaires per capita in Omaha, Nebraska than anywhere else in the country because of everyone.
Yeah, the Walmart people, the Tyson people, the tangentially associated to Walmart and Tyson. A lot of money there. I've been to Arkansas a number of times. The Ozarks are very pretty. The rest of it is, you know. Sorry, Hurdle 25. There's some nice areas in Arkansas.
I went one time when Florida played at Arkansas, and I think we had like flight delays. And I remember getting to a bar at like 10:30, and then being like, "Hey, we stopped selling alcohol now."
Yeah,
I'm like, "Ma'am, yeah, what?"
Yeah, so they don't like to have fun. So, John Calipari potentially to Arkansas. I know there's some big names that people are throwing around, the idea that Billy Donovan might come back to college. I don't see that happening, but you know, again, Kentucky's going to throw around as much money as they want. So yeah, we'll keep a lookout for what happens at Kentucky.
That'd be interesting because I think Billy got out of college basketball because of where recruiting was in terms of, you know, $100 handshakes.
Yeah.
Nick Saban Chargers, and like all the illegal backdoors. Now it's just kind of like he's been in the NBA so long, and it's just like, hey, this is essentially the NBA. We have free agency twice a year when the portal opens, and you can go buy players. And if you go to the University of Kentucky,
yeah,
the money that they would be throw into a fresh start, a Billy Donovan coach, maybe. Yep. I think Bulls fans are ready to run Billy out of town too.
Yeah, I think they're on the verge of another rebuild there in Chicago. Now, I'm not a basketball connoisseur; I don't watch much of it, but that's the word on the street. It's a word on the street. So, all right, well, let's get into football while most people are here. So, before we get into football, make sure that you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Comment, join us in conversation, do all that kind of stuff on the side here. You guys, always usually led by Tawan, have some great enthusiastic conversations on the side there. All right, Nick, Orange and Blue debut is on Saturday. Baseball is also on Saturday. So if you're going up there, definitely an opportunity to go catch out multiple sports while you're there. Nick, give us some football updates. We had the second scrimmage. A lot of players will run through those, but what's the feeling around the program? Is it spring hype, or are things getting better?
I mean, I always tell my friends this, who, you know, like other teams, like spring is just the time for positivity. Like what bad news outside of like injuries, you know, is coming out of spring camp. Everyone is it's all happy news at spring camp. Florida, I think Florida continues to say publicly that they like the offensive line, that they think that the pocket's cleaner, that it's better. That's one of my big questions. I think you're still going to go in the portal and look for interior offensive line help. But I think the biggest takeaway for me this spring has been I like the secondary a lot more. I think Eugene Wilson's still pretty unguardable in practice, despite me thinking that the secondary is much more athletic, but you need some sort of help there. I wrote it last week that like you need another receiver, that the starting, and I think I've said it on the show, and people are just like either don't want to hear it, think I'm lying, but like there are three starting receivers are Khalil Jackson, Chimere Dike, and Eugene Wilson. And then behind them is like maybe Aiden Mizell and Marcus Burke. But I'm kind of at like a, I'll believe it when I see it with Marcus Burke. I think he's come a long way maturity wise. He's been kind of his own worst enemy with his attitude and getting put in the doghouse, because it's not talent. He's super talented. Big, long, fast, goes up, competes, catches the ball, but doesn't get opportunities for a number of reasons off the field. So there's some guys in the receiver room, but like Florida will go into the portal looking for another outside type of receiver. So like I said, in 2020, it was easier to cover Kadarius Toney when Kyle Pitts was out with a concussion. It's going to be easier for defensive coordinators to scheme Eugene Wilson out of games or limit him if you don't have somebody else step up. But there definitely is an instant connection with Graham Mertz and DK. And I think one thing that Graham told us that I thought was interesting was it's helped DK get up to speed by Graham. You know, there's only so many routes you can run, but everyone calls them a certain thing. And Graham will call a play and can just tell DK, you know, until he gets up to speed, like, hey, this is whatever they called it at Wisconsin. And now DK and Graham are on the same page, even though he's, you know, learning Spanish, I guess. It would be
all right. So Orange and Blue debut, going to go through it a little bit. Are we still calling it the Orange and Blue debut? Or is it just
I do.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Me. All right. They used to call it that. I think it's a good name.
So we're going to talk about all of the associated players, and we're going to give some shout outs to, I know, some secondary transfers. But I know that this is going to be, there's going to be a couple of questions about this. But before we do that, I do want to give a shout out. Vance Williams, super chat donation, said, no question. Just wanting to shout out my brother Zach and Sean, both great dads, diehard Gator fans, and huge Stadium and Gale fans. Vance, I appreciate that, and I know Zach and Sean will appreciate that as well. So thank you so much for that. On the Orange and Blue debut, how they're going to divide the roster. They are going to divide up the players, and they're going to try to – this is a Billy Napier quote, pardon me – divide up the players to try to make the game as competitive as possible based off of who's available, and then we allow the veteran players on each team to draft all parts of the organization. So we divide the organization in half, and we give them a little ownership of, hey, I want this guy to be my OC. I want this guy to be my DC. He's going to be the assistant coach. They pick their strength staff. They pick their – and then – he said every part of the building is broken in half, and then we give the players some just to make it competitive. You either win or lose, and I think it's healthy and certainly makes it fun. So I know that we talked a little bit about that. Oh, sorry, there's an additional quote here. It says, we'll meet with the veteran players at some point Thursday before practice. Then we'll announce the teams post-practice, and they'll have their own Friday prep independent of each other to try to simulate a game Friday and then get them ready. So I know that there was some discussion about how those teams would be picked and chose, whether it's going to be an actual draft or not. Looks like the coaching staff will divide the teams, and then they will pick their support staff.
I think that's cool. I think that's cool because it, if you let the players pick, you might get unbalanced teams. It's also, you know, I wrote in there, it's as choreographed as WrestleMania. Don't come for me, nerds. But it, like you can manufacture a game that's 56-0 if you're the coaching staff, just by the way you split teams up. You can manufacture a low scoring game, if you want to, by the way you split the team up and the way you call plays. You can, it's your game. You don't even have to play 11-on-11 football. You don't have to let the defense blitz. You can make the defense play man if you want to. So you can manufacture whatever you want. That's not what this coaching staff wants to do. They want it to be a competitive game. I think you'll see a lot of like ones versus ones, ones versus twos, twos versus twos. So I'm hoping that it's a better game than last year. Don't give people opportunity to troll you. But it's also spring, so there's the caveat of, like, if Florida goes out and the orange and blue teams, it's a 50-42 game, people are like, all right, well, the defense sucks again. And if you go out and you have another 7-10 barn burner like last year, people are like, this sucks. Can't believe I spent money in a hotel to come and watch this. So you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't in the spring.
Checking out the scrimmage, like notes and updates. I thought it was interesting that TJ Searcy was sprung into the starting lineup. I know we do need some help on the edge, and like rushing the passer was definitely a concern of mine. I know Princely Umanili got close a lot last year. His PFF grades were good, but we didn't affect the passer and get the quarterbacks off of their spot a lot last year. What's the starting four right now, Nick, with the defensive line?
I think Justice Boone factors into that, and he's not going to go through everything. So I think when you get to the August 31st, I think it'll be Searcy, Boone, Cam, and Caleb. I think Caleb Banks is taking a big jump, and that's a position where I thought, shoot, Joey Slacken might come in and steal that job. But I think Caleb Banks will probably hold on to that, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of rotation. You have a deep enough room inside to limit guys to 15, 20 snaps. We're looking at 2 years ago, Gervon Dexter playing 65 snaps in the season opener against Utah at 315, 20 pounds. It's wild. So you're in a much better place just from a depth standpoint, but I think that'll be the four. Searcy's a guy. And then when you get to passing downs, Kelby Collins has made that move inside. He's clearly your third and long defensive, strong side defensive end, defensive tackle. So they're playing with a bunch of different things. I asked Kelby, is this a cross training just for the spring kind of thing, or is this long term? And he said it's long term. So with that move now is going to come with adjusting to being double teamed. When you play Jack or Edge or even defensive end, you can line up on outside the hash mark if you want to and use your speed. Now you're inside with 600 pounds of offensive linemen both getting their hands on you and still trying to have to be productive and effective. So I think that's has been an adjustment for him. And it'll be interesting to see if he sticks there. I think they do like him there. But I just think he's too talented to be, a one down player or a super situational player.
Yeah. That depth is going to be magical compared to what we had last year. Also like the energy of Chapman. I know he came in with not a lot of experience, but just watching the clips of him practice or you guys do your little 20-minute, like him telling Caleb Banks body language, your body language, because players are mope sometimes and you start getting into your little routine. But just hearing some communication at spring camp, watching the D-line perform a little bit, I do like Chapman. I do like the depth that we got. We'll see how it all plays out. Slackman not starting is super interesting because nine times out of 10, you bring a transfer in, especially late in his career, you're expecting him to start. So that just means good news with Caleb Banks.
I think Caleb's taking a step for sure. And Slackman also is still coming off of, he's been out of his non-contact jersey, but still coming off of a bicep tear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's going to be really good to see. It's been a while since the Gators have had true depth along the entirety of the offensive line, right? So our defensive line, pardon me. So it does seem to me like that bodes well for hopefully some improvement. And I know that's something that we bemoaned a lot on this show was being able to get to the quarterback and to be able to affect the passer only helps the second level and the third level of the defense as well, right? So those they have to play in concert with one another. DBs playing on islands without affecting the passer, it's a hard job to do, right? And obviously you had a lot of young safeties and everything else last year as well. So looking forward to hopefully having the Florida Gators have a defensive line that could penetrate and make some impact at the line of scrimmage as well as affecting the passer. So that's great there. Speaking of secondary, it does seem to me like the Gators have gotten some good ones out of the portal this year, including DJ Douglas. He seems to be the guy that transferred from Tulane. He had a pick six during their scrimmage, but apparently DJ Douglas has done a fantastic job this spring. Nick, is that what you're hearing? outside of just the big plays at these scrimmage events?
Yeah, I think it's it probably comes with him being older, but he's just consistent, and there aren't like bad days, you know, sprinkled into camp. He's a guy too that I think can play nickel, play safety. I've said here before, I think that Traquez and DJ both can play nickel, but you have 5 years of film of them doing that, which is why Florida's put just Aaron Gates and Sharif Denson there. But yeah, Douglas is super consistent. He's a sound tackler. And he can make plays with the ball in the air. So huge guy, probably the one that fans didn't embrace as much as Bridges or Turner, because it was a former walk-on in Alabama, and then he went to Tulane, but a player who I think is going to play a ton for Florida this year.
Speaking of DBs, I'm watching I'm curious to what Jordan Castell is looking like. The transfers, we had a lot of different options at safety. I heard Josiah Davis is having a good spring camp as an early enrollee. Jordan Castell started as a freshman quite a bit last year. It's tough to play that position as a freshman, but what's his development look like so far spring? Heard any buzz?
He's not doing any contact. So he had shoulder surgery after last season. I project him as a starter. I think Florida views him as a starter. I would say him and Asa Turner, the Washington transfer. But I think the reason you're not hearing buzz is that he's been in a non-contact jersey. Anytime you go 11-on-11, 7-on-7, he's not even doing some of the, you know, one-on-one drills when it's just DBs and receivers, because they don't want him re-injuring that shoulder. Mm.
So what are we looking at? And I know Harrison asked a question. Starting at safety, you have a couple of freshmen that are moving into sophomores. You bring in DJ Douglas, Asa Turner. What do you envision as rep count there in terms of who gets the most, who's next off the bench?
Yeah, I don't know. I think because after spring or summer, fall camp, I'll want to see, are you rolling with four safeties, leaving Bridges and DJ Douglas back there with Asa and Jordan, or are you just trying to get your best five, six defensive backs on the field?
Right.
And if that means Aaron Gates is playing backup and DJ Douglas is starting at star or at nickel, then that would change the rep count. So I think that still remains to be seen. Florida's got to get healthier. You're not really worried about Jordan Castell being out or Justice Boone or Miles Graham, Derek Wingo, Shamar James, like the defense, I think, and maybe that should be a concern. Might be nitpicky, but like the defense is out. Like the linebacker room, even lost Manny Nunnery for a couple of practices after a groin injury in the first scrimmage.
So, like, oh, and he's coming back. I don't think we ever mentioned it on the show. He took his name out of the transfer portal, at least for now.
I mean, yeah.
It's an important note, Nick. Come on. This is a new show.
He went into the transfer portal and then came back and has been practicing. I think he officially took his name out.
Nice.
But had mentally been out. But shout out to Dan. Credit Dan.
Just bringing the facts to the show. You know what I mean? I want to make sure that everybody gets their flowers and that nobody goes to the bar to meet with their friends. Be like, yeah, well, Manny Nunnery is still on the transfer portal, because he's not. He was
making Sadie Miguel listeners sound smarter at bars.
I just want to make sure you know. I just want to make sure you know. So according to some intel notes that you have, some players that have also stood out that we have not yet mentioned on the defensive side of the ball, Devin Moore, Sharif Denson, and Josiah Davis, I think you mentioned him as well. Was it Teddy Foster that had the hit on Eugene Wilson?
Yeah,
that did the rounds. Shout out to Sarasota great Teddy Foster. Some guys. Billy Napier said this is the best we've tackled since we've been here, and I think in particular the secondary. That's news to our ears. Now, again, we'll lace the pads up on August 31st and we'll see. But those are things that you want to hear.
Yeah, I like that tackle drill. It was, I'm not sure if it was Oklahoma drill exactly what it was, but just great contact, great form tackle by a true freshman. In a real game, I like Trey Wilson to beat anybody on one-on-one open field. Like he's gonna make Teddy miss in a scrimmage, but it's a tackling drill and they gotta collide. Overall, you'd like to see that from Teddy.
Yeah.
So low man wins.
Yeah, low man definitely wins. Low you gotta get low.
Yeah. Low. All right. So
that drill's not Meg the Stallion low,
Dan.
Oh no.
Said about Eugene too, like that drill is like, hey, we're gonna cut both your feet off and just stick you here and not let you be what makes you a great player.
Right.
But just go show us you're tough. I think that's what that drill is.
Correct.
But yeah, Teddy Foster's a guy who I didn't really hype up much or really know too much about, and the staff loves him.
I think
the emphasis on tackling, I can imagine what Will Harris thought when he's sitting on a plane back to California, you know, watching cut-ups. I think you know what he thought because of how hard Florida went in the transfer portal right after that first signing period. And then every day they're just putting an emphasis on tackling. You can only tackle that foam donut so much. I like that they're, you know, as safely as possible starting all the individual periods as a secondary together, working on tackling real people onto pads. The guys are tackling or holding pads. You're doing it as safe as possible. But you're not tackling foam donuts on Saturdays. I think you need to practice tackling humans.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think we upgrade with the guys we got at Star? I think we got some legit bodies. Do you think we upgraded from
Jaden Hill?
Because the season
went. So. I thought Jaden Hill had the best season that he has had at Florida. He had 12 missed tackles. I think he was second on the team in missed tackles. But I thought he played well, but I think Florida, I really like Aaron Gates there. He's super athletic. And then I like if you put Bridges, Denson, or DJ Douglas there. So, yeah, I like that position. I think you're legitimately four deep at nickel.
That's very great. Nice. That's nice to hear. I personally wish Jaden Hill the best.
The Aggie season will go as Jaden Hill
goes, right? And if I've said that the last 2 years, hope in Aggie Nation should not be very high with that.
You low-key cursed us, bro. You low-key cursed us a little bit.
I did. Maybe I'm the problem, you know?
I would say
Jaden Hill and John Ruiz, I've caused the two biggest issues in Florida Gator sports. No, it does seem this team has a lot of potential, right? There's a lot of potential upgrades. That's just a matter of putting it all together. That's going to fall on coaching, putting the guys in the right position as well. Let's move to any other thoughts on the defensive side of the ball before we move to the offensive side.
What a corner. Is we good at corner? What corner? I mean, haven't heard a lot about Jakeem Jackson. Heard Devin Moore is healthy and out there moving around a little bit, and he expects to have a great season and say this is the healthiest he's ever been, but what were we hearing at corner?
Best ability is availability. Devin Moore, I think, has like all SEC type of potential, but he's played in exactly half of the games that he's been at on campus for. Jason Marshall's going to start. I think Devin Moore starts. Jakeem would be, I think, the third there. You also have Dijon Johnson. Haven't heard a ton of smoke about those guys. Devin Moore is really the one that I think we've been focused on just because of how talented he is and how much potential he has just been limited by, you know, shoulder concussion and different kind of injuries through 2 years.
What do you see from a coaching perspective on the defensive side of the ball? Gerald Chapman, obviously a guy that he's gone a little viral with his clips about body language. We've heard some good things about Will Harris. Ron Roberts obviously has an exceptional pedigree there. What do you see, or what are you hearing? Obviously you inject three new names into the defensive side of the ball from a coaching perspective. How are you hearing about their gelling and working together? And
yeah, it's spring. Everyone's happy. Gerald Chapman is like a drill instructor. He's gotten on guys, that body language stuff. We hear it every single time we go out. Doesn't want his guys even on a knee while they're, you know, not actively participating in a drill. I think the Will Harris is great. I love a coach out there who's wearing cleats. Actively participating in practice. I think Ron Roberts commands a lot of respect, but also seems to act younger than his mid-50s age, which might connect with the kids a little bit more. I'm still interested to see, and I've brought it up before, is like what happens between Ron Roberts and Austin Armstrong if the defense starts struggling, because it's Austin's defense, which is a derivative of Ron's defense, because Austin was Ron's graduate assistant, where he learned how to be a coach at this level. But if Florida goes out and gives up 400 yards to UCF, do egos start getting in the way? So that's my negative Nick spin, which I think is just like a realistic question to ask. Like, hey, yeah, you've got Mr. Miyagi and the Karate Kid, but now the Karate Kid's teaching Miyagi. And if we lose this tournament, does the Mr. Miyagi be like, hey, man, time for me to go back to being the head coach here?
You lost like half the audience, I'm going to be honest with you.
There's no way. How does a Karate Kid reference losing people?
I mean, they probably know Jaden Smith as Karate Kid. Mr. Miyagi.
Mr. Miyagi wasn't in the remake?
No, I don't think so. I didn't see him though. Wild. So I'm just speaking totally out of line here. I have no idea.
He was whooping Jaden's ass in Japan, man. Like I was upset for my guy, bro. Like, no Mr. Miyagi though.
All right, let's get onto the offensive side of the ball. Before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel, homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. Get 15% off of your order. Anything that you'd want, vintage wear, University of Florida, all the vintage logos on the softest cotton, go check them out. They also have a bunch of stuff from college basketball from probably about 100 different schools around the country. So again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. The offensive side of the ball, we'll talk about quarterbacks here in a second. Montrell Johnson looks to be having a good spring insofar as he'll obviously be the guy with the most amount of touches most likely on the offense this year. Jacoby Jackson, Treyon Webb, Jordan Baugh all are getting some of their flowers too for scoring some touchdowns during the scrimmage. Nick, any further updates on the running back room? Obviously, it looks pretty solidified. Anything else that you can share? It seems like Jaden Baugh is everything that we could have imagined.
Yeah, I think I like him and KD. It's like I said in my positive revamp, positive Nick, always have been revamp after Trevor Etienne transferred. I said I thought that was more of a hit to the perception of the program than it would be to production on the field. I'm not going to sit here and say that Florida's offense wouldn't be better without Trevor, or is better without Trevor Etienne. He would run for another 800 yards and might lead the team in touchdowns. But what you have in Montrell, Treyon Webb, Jaden Baugh, and KD Daniels, I think you're going to be fine at running back. I'm interested in what's the shakeout. I think it was like Montrell and Trevor were like 88% of the carries by running backs last year. So how does that get divvied up? I think it'll probably be 65% Montrell, 70 maybe.
Wow.
60 with 20 and 10. 60, 20, 20, 60, 20, 10, 10 between the freshmen. I just don't know how much you get the freshmen involved. I think Montrell's gotten better as a pass catcher as well. Would like to see the running backs more involved. And then, listen, the same issues you had with Trevor in pass blocking, you're seeing that with KD and Jaden. It's just like elite running backs aren't asked to pass block.
Right, especially from high school, yeah.
So then you get to college, and all of a sudden you have a guy like Justice Boone and TJ Searcy coming off the edge, and you have to now try to block these grown men when you've never been asked to block before. So you're going to get those same issues with Jaden and KD that you have with Trevor. It's just a learning curve.
Jaden coming for snaps, bro. Yeah. I like that running back room, but Jaden Ball is coming for snaps. Everybody better get their affairs in order and grind it out in that room. Take every opportunity. You better try to go get you six and you know, make your case, because Jaden Ball, if you go back and look at his high school film and what he's doing already, he looks the part. That's a big boy, bro.
That's a big guy, yeah.
It's a big guy, bro. So
Nick, how's
that's
the how cheek you
build
check?
An SEC running back. Cheek check?
Cheek with check on Jaden Ball. Pretty good?
Yeah.
I don't know. I keep staring at Silk's screen. It looks like there's a cheek check over his right shoulder.
Oh, you're looking at my fine-ass flamingo back there?
It's a flamingo. Okay.
Yeah.
I understand where Nick's coming from.
Oh, okay.
It does look like some butt cheeks with the pulled down bikini. Yeah,
that's what it looked like.
If you're not watching
with
YouTube,
the mic arm, with the mic arm, I was like, what is over his shoulder?
Jaden Ball had
black flamingo's face.
Three touchdowns in the scrimmage.
Pull the mic down some so y'all
can see. Jacoby Jackson's playing just for the sake of playing depth.
Yeah, that'd be okay. RB5.
I just wanted to ask. All right, so three touchdowns in the air during the scrimmage. Jacoby Jackson had one of them. TJ Abrams and redshirt sophomore tight end Hayden Hansen caught touchdowns as well. Abrams missed last week's scrimmage with a concussion. So Hayden Hansen with another touchdown, TJ Abrams and Jacoby Jackson there. Nick, give us the word on the street. Give us the Mertz update, the Lagway update.
Well, real quick before we move on from running back. I also think we say we're not going to miss Jaden Hill. I don't think we're going to miss Trevor Etienne as well. Uman Nealon, I don't think we're going to miss him. So the moral of the story is stop wigging out over transfers. Just vibe out a little bit. I don't think we're going to miss any of those guys.
Anywho. Yeah, Princeton was productive. I 100% agree with fans. Like, if you probably led the country in almost sacks as well as leading the team in actual sacks. But like I don't think there were any tears or hurt feelings in the locker room, when Princely announced he was transferring. I think
let's
the locker room and people in the program are fine with it.
Nick, give me your, and Silk as well. Give me your interpretation of, we'll go back to running back. So we know what we have in Montrell Johnson. We'll put him off to the side. We kind of have an idea of what you see in Treyon Webb from last year. Jaden Ball is obviously a big bruiser. He's what, 230, 240 pounds, big dude. KD Daniels, obviously a little bit smaller, maybe a little bit more of scat back. What kind of runners are these guys from what we can tell so far?
I think we know you've seen Webb and Montrell.
Right. That's why I put him off to the side.
KD's kind of electric. I think he can make you miss. Jaden's got a little bit of that in his game too, but he's also a bruiser. Neither of them are going to be afraid of contact. KD's not as big as Jaden, but he's just like small town Mississippi mentality. Like that, nothing on a football field is going to intimidate him. I've said it a couple times, like Florida's running back room is going to be fine. Trevor Etienne, leaving was worse for the perception, especially where he left to,
right?
Then it's going to be for production on the field.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Let's Mertz, Lagway. Any updates there?
They've probably thrown more interceptions than I would like.
Both.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. DJ's coming along. There's going to be a learning curve.
The defense is a lot better, you know?
You know, that has to be it. It's
going to be when you're practicing against yourself, you have to find the silver lining.
Yeah. It's not concerning. DJ's going to come along. They've installed packages for him. I think you'll see him running the football. I think you'll see him playing in every game. There's no sense in redshirting DJ Lagway. If he's what you think he's going to be, he won't be here for 4 years. If he isn't, he won't be here for 4 years and he'll transfer somewhere else. So there's no sense in redshirting him. I think Florida will use him. It's I've said on the show before, it's a weird quarterback room because Graham Mertz is going to be 24 years old in December. Is entering his fifth year, his second year in the offense. He's almost more of a collaborator when they're game planning and doing stuff because he understands why we're running this play, might be to set up a play in the second quarter, and just has that kind of depth of knowledge of the playbook and what they're trying to accomplish while DJ's getting everything thrown at him. They're installing something Tuesday, watching film Wednesday, and then installing something completely different on Thursday. And it's just a lot for a young guy, but I mean, arm talent is there. The athleticism is there. I think the biggest thing for DJ will be getting the high school out of him, where you go back and you watch like Noel Devine, Chris Rainey, high school highlights. Chris Rainey might've run 25 yards backwards to make 12 people miss to then get a 15 yard gain. DJ was the biggest player on the field for probably the last 2 years, the fastest player in the field probably the last 2 years. You need to learn that, hey, throwing a ball away is fine. That's not going to kill our team, kill the offense, kill a drive. You don't need to try to scramble around and make something out of nothing. If nothing's there, throw the ball away, live to the next play. So I think that's also a natural progression for somebody as talented as him. And for any freshman quarterback, learning that throwing a ball away or maybe even taking a sack is better than, you know, trying to force something that's not there.
Sure. Cool. Let's see. We've kind of touched on the wide receiver position, still probably missing one more person in that room. Andy Jean is still in a no-contact jersey, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So Gators certainly lacking some proven depth, at least at the wide receiver position. You have Khalil Jackson, Shamar DK, and Eugene Wilson as the likely starters. Tight end, we've talked a little bit about Hayden Hansen. Nick thinks he's Jonathan Odom. You know, we'll find out in a couple of months. Offensive line, this will be the last thing that we touch on today. Offensive line, I know there's still a lot of positivity coming out of that. Any new updates since this time last week?
No, a lot of Brandon Crenshaw Dixon and Devon Manuel. After that, you're really playing Caden Jones and Fletcher Westfall at tackle because Cam is out and Austin's out. You'll get those two back. Florida thinks they'll be four deep at tackle. I think Jake Slaughter continues to play well. That's your starting center. Rod Kearney's played a little bit of guard, mostly center there. And I think Najee Harris is your starting left guard, and you've got to figure out right guard. Okay. And Florida will be active in the portal looking for a receiver, an interior offensive lineman, and another tight end.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got practices this week. We have the Orange and Blue debut on Saturday at noon.
O'clock.
What?
1 p.m.
1 p.m. At 1 p.m. in Gainesville. The baseball game is after. If you want to go watch them play, go cheer them on. They need some luck and encouragement, or some fan support and encouragement at that game as well. But the game will be at 1 o'clock in Gainesville, Florida. So if you have the ability to go, go. It is sponsored by Florida Victorious. I know that they're doing a bunch of events if you want to support what Florida Victorious is doing in the NIL space. So with that being said, gentlemen, I think we've covered offense, defense, special teams. Nick, where are we at with special teams? We got a kicker.
Yeah, Trace Mack and Jeremy Crawshaw.
Okay. How are we doing in special teams getting 11 people on the field? Is that happening yet?
You know, it's a struggle.
Maybe practicing special teams.
You don't have 11 fingers, so it's tough. I get it. No, I think Florida's really, really excited about adding Joe Houston. I think if you look at the metrics, which Florida likes to point out, metric-wise – Florida was really good in every aspect of special teams, like great kick returns, great punt returns, great.
You can say this is
kicking, my thing great punting, but like
if you can statistically look at the course of an entire year and say there was only three times that we had penalties or four times that we had penalties on all of the special teams plays per game. So there's probably 10 of them, right? So let's just say 120 games. You could say only crucial. Four times, right? And you're like, Dan, that's less than 4%. That's 3%. Look, 97% of the time we did it right. But if those 3% cost you wins, then I don't buy it, right? Like, that's my thing with looking and identifying problems and saying, hey, we need to get better and we can do that job better. And this is what we're doing to fix it. And obviously, they've made some hires to hopefully do that. But you can't look back and say, well, 98% of the time we did it right. Well, it's because two of those percentage points cost you two wins, right? So that's BS. Anyway.
Yeah.
Fun with numbers with Dan.
I think Florida really likes Joe Houston. I think they got a steal in the special new off-the-field special teams coach. Forgive me for not knowing what creative license they took when assigning him whatever title they assigned him, but he will help with special teams. I think organizationally is what where Florida lacked. If you're going to point to having great averages nationally, SEC averages for, you know, all of the metrics for special teams, organizationally they were a disaster. And by that I mean not having your card updated when Eugene Wilson changes his number to 3 and in the season opener, having two guys in the same jersey, weekly having 10 guys on the field, which, Dan, to your point, you don't get penalized for competing with lower than the allotted number of players. They didn't have 12 too many times, but they had 10 plenty. So organizationally, I think, you know, that's where Florida is looking for help, special teams. And I think they have, believe they found that with Joe Houston.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Top 5 public school in the country. Hopefully we find somebody that can count to 11. Gentlemen, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Got a question for both of y'all real quick. Yep. What do you got your eye on for spring that you want to see outside of special teams? I don't think we're going to do a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But what are you looking for improvement wise, depth chart wise, anything in particular?
I'll go. If it's one versus ones, I think if they do that, then I do want to look at the line of scrimmage, right? Because we've talked about the offensive line getting a little bit better. We've also talked about the defensive line making some big strides. So I'm going to be heavily focused on the line of scrimmage. How does that offensive line, which has been hyped up as better, versus the defensive line, which has a ton of guys, really good guys on that front four, how they match up. Because I think if the defensive line is what they think it's going to be, then it could be one of the better units in the SEC. And if the offensive line can guard that group, that's what I'm going to look for.
Yeah,
I
don't think the offensive line got better in the offseason. I've said that. So if the defensive line isn't getting to the quarterback, then I'm worried about the defensive line.
Then there's
and then I think we have spent all spring overhyping the defensive line because I don't think the offensive line got better, and you're missing your starting left tackle right now who won't play. You're missing your third, you know, swing tackle in Cam Waits. So if the defensive line isn't consistently winning against an offensive line that I don't think is very good, then I'm coming out of the spring concerns.
Yeah.
I'm watching wide receiver. I know our defensive back has been getting a lot of like praise, and then we just heard that the quarterbacks have been throwing interceptions in practice. So that could be wide receivers getting separation. So I want to see what that room looks like for the spring game. Like who shows some flashes versus that secondary. Outside of who we bring in the portal, we need this depth chart on campus. Every guy, because you're only going to bring in one guy to kind of just, you know, throw some icing on top of whatever cake you got here. So those guys in that room, somebody got to step up. A. Mazzell, Andy Jean, right? Burke. I mean, at this point, it's like shit to get off the pot for Burke. Yeah. So, like, it's just an opportunity for one of these guys. Outside of Eugene Wilson, I haven't heard a whole lot of progress and buzz with the wide receiver room. So that's what I'm watching, wide receiver DB.
Is that what you're looking at, Nick, was the defensive line? Or did you have another? Yeah. Okay, cool. So we've got wide receivers, line of scrimmage for this game. Pop in the chat what you're looking forward to the most. For those of you that are watching, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button while you're there. But yeah, what unit are you most looking forward to in the orange and blue debut? One final ad read so Nick can head off to Augusta. Give our friends over at Alumni Hall a visit, whether you're in Gainesville this weekend for the orange and blue game or online at alumnihall.com. They are right off Archer Road, right near the Chick-fil-A. You can't miss it. Huge storefront. But again, Alumni Hall is going to have the best things that you could ever want, Florida Gators related, from apparel to polos to t-shirts, all sports involved, accessories, gifts, tailgating supplies, whatever you need for you or the Florida Gator fan in your life. Go check out alumnihall.com or go visit them on Archer Road in Gainesville, Florida. Silk, you have song of the week this week. So while you think about that, I want to thank everybody for listening and watching today. If those of you that are listening on the podcast platforms, we also do this on YouTube. Those that are watching on YouTube, if you want to go check it out again or share with your friends, we drop every Tuesday morning at around 5 a.m. for your listening in the car. So again, want to shout out our sponsors, Lucy. Go visit them, lucy.co/stadium. Alumni Hall and Home Field Apparel, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. So
man, I like this new Sir album. I'm gonna go with the joint with him and Anderson Pack, Poetry in Motion. Sir, new album called Heavy, R&B vibes.
What was the song? Heavy?
No, the album's Heavy. The song is Poetry in Motion.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate everybody for watching. We will see you at the same corner, same time next week. Thank you guys so much.
If I slip, I slide, I don't trip. I glide when I dip. I dive when I dive deep. In the middle of her ocean, you know where to find me. When it's poetry in motion, she don't ever mind me. If I slip, I slide, I don't trip. I glide when I dip. I dive when I dive deep. In the middle of her ocean, you know where to find me. When it's poetry in motion, she don't ever mind me. I'm a Mac, lil' baby, no, it's a fact. Los Angeles in my lap, got belly still in the trap. I really be spitting bars, got niggas thinking I rap. I'm hanging out with the stars, still can't relax, even in these foreign cars. I'm rolling around with the strap, when I hit it hard. Permission to make it clap, I need a round of applause. But I might settle for that, had to break a couple laws. Put my city on the map, You think you beat the pussy up, but you didn't make her come. Even if you made her come, she ain't never coming back. Play it like you couldn't call it, it's just something that you lack. Michael Jack, got Billie Jean talking bad behind your back. She can roll with me, it's a lucky day. Got a pound of tree and a gang of yay. We had sacks, blending.
spinning in and spinning racks. Representing is a trend. I don't see no end to that. Where you at?
If I slip, I slide. I don't trip. I glide when I dip. I dive when I dive deep. In the middle of her ocean, you know where to find me. When it's poetry in motion, she don't ever mind me. If I slip, I slide. Slide. I don't trip. I glide, glide when I dip. I dive when I dive, I dive, deep. I dive in the middle of her ocean. You know where to find me.
Come
when it's poetry in motion, she don't ever mind me.
They told me slowly is the fastest way to get where you wanna be. So I ease to a steady speed. Let that bitch breathe. No push stop. Give me keys to that blue Impala. This the good part. When you're living everything you thought about. No single mothers who had to teach their sons how to squabble. No killers who became good fathers who raised their daughters. Look now, AP, I'm 50 for my keys. Las Vegas residency. I brought the two of them me. The good part is father and father. I know it might look hard, but baby, nothing is out of your reach. Grab it, and I'll be damned if they gon' take it from me. Passion is what I had before any grand.
She can roll with me. It's a lucky day. Got a pound of tree and a gang of yay.
We have sacks and some dirty vans, blowing hella bands. I don't smoke, but I'm still high. That's the price of gas.
If I slip, I slide. I don't trip. I glide when I dip. I dive when I dive deep. In the middle of her ocean, you know where to find me. When it's poetry in motion, she don't ever mind me. If I slip, I slide.
Slide.
I don't trip. I glide,
glide
when I dip. I dive when
I dive
in the middle of the ocean. You know where to find me. When
come
it's poetry in motion, she don't ever mind